Are you ready for the journey? The journey of power. And I tell you, I first began to cultivate this nearly 40 years ago. And God began to use this teaching. Now we've revised it very considerably. In fact, it was in over 2,000 locations in United Kingdom, where there were about 50 people at each location, so about 100,000 people just in England and all of the UK were involved. But after 40 years, how many have been around 40 years? How many have not been around 40 years? Just as I thought, the rest of you. And you get older, your body begins to break down a little. And this morning I was looking for my glasses. And, oh my goodness, you look blurry. Look at the person next to you and say, does that person look blurry? Yeah, forgive me, okay? I'm going to just clean these. Is that all right? You have to clean your glasses. And because... Oh, my, you look so much better. Oh, you guys are great. Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute, I don't wear glasses. I don't wear glasses. That's just a bad joke. How many want to see God more clearly? Close up and personal. See, when we talk about being on a journey of power, you'll notice that in announcing this, we refer to this as a pilgrim's progress of prayer. And probably one of the greatest, maybe as great a classic in Christian literature as any other single writing next to the Bible would be Pilgrim's Progress. And there's a very great recent motion picture on that you can pick up. I know they're out here at Mardell here in the Colorado Springs area. But it's a classic, and so we were able to order a good quantity of these books. And I would encourage you, even if it takes several months, just a little bit each day. Our executive director here showed the movie to his children, and they enjoyed it so much that he's now reading passages of it every night as a part of a devotional to their family. And he said, this is incredible. Well, when I wrote the book, No Easy Road, Inspirational Thoughts on Prayer, it really became a pilgrim's progress of prayer, that kind of a journey. And I know all of us recognize that prayer is a vital subject in the Christian faith. We also know there's a multitude of questions that we can have, not the least of which is, why does it seem God doesn't hear my prayers? You ever feel that way? And hears other people's prayers, and it's like God lives in a vacuum. And speaking of vacuum, I heard the other day of a... Now, I'm going to ask all you blondes here to forgive me now. There was this blonde. Everybody's looking around. But in case that offends you, we'll just say it was a brunette who accidentally dyed her hair blonde in an accident. So she qualifies for the joke. Anyway, this blonde was playing Trivial Pursuit, and she rolled the dice, and it landed on science and nature. And the question was, if you are in a vacuum and someone calls your name, can you hear it? And she paused for a moment and said, is the vacuum on or off? I'm sorry. But why pray? There are some who literally have a theology that really prayer is more just to fellowship with the Lord, because in fact he has already pre-programmed everything, and therefore it's all going to happen this way anyway. And we know that if we study scripture, that's just not true. In fact, let me share with you, there are various timeless insights throughout our teaching, and here's one from the pen of Billy Graham, who said, and it's in your most of these insights are in your worksheets that you have there. The men upon whose shoulders rested the initial responsibility of Christianizing the world came to Jesus with one supreme request. They did not say, Lord, teach us to preach. Lord, teach us to do miracles. or Lord, teach us to be wise. But they said, what did they say? Lord, teach us to pray. I'm going to share two observations in this first lesson, which is really based on the introduction in the book, No Easy Road. I want to challenge you very much to read that and start reading a chapter a week or so, and you'll stay right along with us as we go through this teaching if you do that. And the two observations are the necessity of prayer, and the second is the nature of prayer. Perhaps one of the most quoted verses in all of Scripture, both on the subject of prayer and also on the subject of spiritual awakening, is 2 Chronicles 7:14. We hear it more and more and more. But I want to share something from that to lead into this thought, the necessity of prayer. If my people, let's read this out loud. It's there on the screen. Real nice and a hearty reading of this. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. How many agree our land needs healing? More than ever. Did you know? This is an if clause. An if clause. If you do this, I'll do that. There are, look at this, 1,522 conditional clauses in Scripture. I don't know if you knew that. There's 1,522 occasions where it says, if you do this, then that will happen. Let me give you some quick examples. You can note these. They're there in your notes. John 8:31. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If we're not in the word of God, we're not really a follower of Jesus. And I've said this in recent teaching. We were over in Hong Kong. I said that if you're really a disciple, you're going to spend time with your teacher. That's the way I said it. If you're really a disciple, you'll spend time with your teacher. John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's another if clause. Mark 9:23, I'm giving these quickly. 9:23, if you can believe, there's an if again, all things are possible to him who believes. John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And so the implication there of all the discussion in recent days of can you really only come to the Father through Jesus? That's what he said. Let's look more closely at observation number one, the necessity of prayer. I begin with just a statement, as I will have various statements in these sessions from past history, and this is Martin Luther, a remarkable, remarkable leader of his time, and we know of his impact. He said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. That's great. Oh boy, what if believers really understood that? And I ask you, how much have you been breathing lately? That determines, listen, how much you're alive in Jesus. Everybody take a deep breath and smile. By the way, smile every now and then just to throw me off. You know, just to Okay, insight number one. Four insights on the necessity of prayer. Insight number one, prayer prepares the way for salvation. It's the sinner's prayer. And some, you know, people discuss this. You know, is that necessary? Can't you just kind of believe in your heart? Well, I know Romans 10:9 does talk about believing in our heart, but Romans 10:9-10, and then verse 13, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Another if clause, by the way. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Verse 13. Isn't this a great verse? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And in the ministry of Every Home for Christ, our teams are now reaching just at 200,000 new families. Think of this now. New homes every single day. And this past year, over 25,000 people a day were followed up, a day, with Bible correspondence courses. 2 years ago, we planted 3,900 new churches. That was 2 years ago. Last year it was 8,105. More than doubled in 1 year. I don't know what's happening this year, except that it's advancing. Already in just Anglo-Africa alone, it's over 4,000 brand new churches this year, just in one of our nine regions. Now, insight number two. Insight number two, prayer prepares the way for divine fellowship. Revelation 3:20 is often shared in the context of initially receiving Christ, but look closely at the verse and the wording. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. It's really speaking of a fellowship. It's like the Lord is at our door knocking, saying, can I have some time with you? Now also it can apply to the initial salvation experience. Look at Moses, Exodus 33, verse 11. Exodus 33, verse 11, inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. How many believe that God can speak to people today? How many believe he can speak in whole sentences? I remember the first time I opened up that way and allowed God to speak to me and just blew me away. It was like, is that you, God? Yes. Are you sure? Pretty sure. No, he didn't say pretty sure. Insight number three, prayer prepares the way for spiritual growth. You can look at it any way you want of the believer's life. No prayer, little growth. Little prayer, little growth. Much prayer, much growth. Psalm 69:32 says, the humble shall see this and be glad. And you who seek God, your hearts shall live. In other words, you come alive, you grow, you mature. You're full of vibrant energy. The early apostles understood this. When you look at the way the church began to explode and grow, and you look at, well, Acts 5:42 says that daily in the temple courts and to every house, every home, they never stopped proclaiming that Jesus was the Christ. And thousands and many thousands were coming to Jesus. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 or so when the lame man in Acts 3 was healed. It was just an awesome harvest, but that created problems. And so the apostles had to make a decision. And that's when they appointed deacons to serve them, because they understood something of their apostolic mandate, their call of God, that if they were going to accomplish what they were to accomplish, they had to make prayer the priority for their own growth and for what God wanted to do. In Acts 6:4, you see that, did you know this? The first, listen, this is important, the first apostolic administrative decision the apostles made after they made a decision to replace Judas as one of the 12, when of course he committed suicide, and you know that story. Then they appointed, that was kind of a decision, and then they just cast lots to see who that was going to be. And so all the things that happened when you look at the scriptures, the first administrative decision was, how are we going to handle what's happening in the church? And they made this decision, we have to give ourselves first to prayer. And that's another thing Martin Luther is often referred to in quoting when he made the statement, I have so much work to do today, I have 3 days worth of work to do easily today, and the only way I'll get it done today is to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. See, he understood that. Insight number four, prayer prepares the way for unexpected miracles. Unexpected miracles, right in the word miracles. Unexpected miracles. How many believe God can still do today what he did in the early church? Sure, he's the same God. In Acts 12, Peter's been arrested. It said Peter in verse 5, therefore was kept in prison. And I'm so used to the old King James Version that I look down at what this actually says from the New King James Version, but in my mind, it's that how prayer was continuously going up before the Lord. Peter was kept in prison. And here it says, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And then verse, of course, then I'm not reading these verses for time, but between verse 5 and 13, you've got his dramatic rescue where an angel shows up, leads him out of prison in a remarkable way. And by the way, Peter was there really to be executed. The plan was that he was to die, but it was not God's time. But then you remember the interesting part of this story was when Peter showed up and began knocking at the door. And you see that in verse 13 of where the people were praying, where it says prayer was made without ceasing of the church for him. It had said in verse 5, but then it says verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And verse 14, when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, you are beside yourself, which is, you know, you're nuts. You're crazy. We're praying for his release. You know, I mean, it's kind of interesting. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, now they had to make another conclusion. It is his angel. And then in verse 16, now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. You ever have that happen to you when you pray for something? and happens, you say, oh my goodness, it worked. Corrie ten Boom, who survived the prison camps of Nazi Germany, in just a few words said something powerful. What wings are to a bird and sails to a ship, prayer is to the soul. How many want to soar for Jesus? And if we want to soar or fly like an eagle spiritually, what Corrie ten Boom said is so true. What wings are to a bird, sails to a ship, prayer is to the soul. Why pray? Some of you have heard the experience I had years ago, and I've repeated in many teaching settings of where I was teaching a school of prayer and in Oklahoma. About 30 churches had come together, and I was coming up on the platform. And when I passed the front pew, a little old lady about 80 years of age grabbed my coattail, kind of held me back, and spun me around. And I looked at her, and she said, Brother Dick, in a nutshell, what's the secret to your prayer life? And you know, how do you answer that? That quickly. And so I said, because it was going to be 8-hour teaching, I said, oh my goodness, this today's going to be one huge nutshell. And then I paused and I thought, but you know, the reason I pray every day, and this just came out, is because something happens when I pray that does not happen if I don't. Therefore, if I have not prayed today, something has gone undone in God's kingdom plans for my life and for the lives of those that might have been touched through my praying. So remember that. If you want to write down just the first part, something happens when I pray that does not happen when I don't. Let's talk about the nature of prayer. The nature of prayer, four definitions. Nature, by the way, is a simple definition. This is not in your notes, but you understand kind of what we mean when we say the nature of something. It's how it works. But a fuller definition is the inherent character or basic constitution of a person or a thing. I think a better definition for our purposes is the fundamental or essential characteristic of something. The fundamental or essential characteristic of something. The nature of prayer. First of all, and this is in your workbook, is a statement I also repeat very often from Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher at the Metropolitan Baptist Church in London a century ago. He said, whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom. So first off, we have to say that prayer in and of itself is foundational to everything that God wants to do in our walk with him, because we are bringing him into what we do through prayer. Let me give you some definitions that would go with this thought, the nature of prayer. Definition one is prayer is conversing. It is simply talking with God. It is holding, as Rosalind Rinker published a book, Prayer, a Conversing with God, or A Conversation with God. I'm trying to remember the exact title. One of the most read books on prayer in the last century, highlighted the significance of this fact because so many people had a barrier of what prayer is. Sometimes you would hear people read prayer in more traditional churches or pray these lofty prayers that seemed to come from their heart because they knew a lot of scripture or whatever it was. But prayer is simply conversing with God. And you look at this in Numbers 12, 5 through 8. When it speaks of these leaders, Moses' day, the three went out. God descended in a pillar of a cloud and stood at the entrance to the tent. He called Aaron and Miriam to him. When they stepped out, he said, "Listen carefully to what I'm telling you. If there is a prophet of God among you, I make myself known to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams." Now then he says, look at as this goes on. "But I don't do it that way with my servant Moses." And this is the Message paraphrase. But this is just great. It's great. Look excited by faith, okay? Watch my faith. "He has the run of my entire house." How many would like to have the run of the whole house of God? Oh. "I speak to him intimately in person, in plain talk without riddles. He ponders the very form of God." Oh, that we would desire this in our walk. Number two, definition number two, prayer is releasing. Prayer is releasing. Releasing what? Well, it's releasing God's power or applying God's power into a situation. You know how the scripture says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Of course, before that, whatever you restrain or bind on earth is bound in heaven. But look at the example from the experience of Elijah in 1 Kings 18, because it shows the unique release of heaven's power. In verses 36 to 38, that's 1 Kings 18, 36 to 38, when it was time for the sacrifice to be offered, now Elijah is confronting the prophets of Baal. Elijah, the prophet, came up and prayed. And you remember what they had done. They had done all kinds of rituals to try and get fire to come from heaven, and it didn't happen. But Elijah prayed, "Oh God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, make it known right now that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I am doing what I'm doing under your orders. Answer me, God. Oh, answer me and reveal to this people that you are God, the true God, and that you are giving these people another chance at repentance." Immediately, the fire. Now, see the word immediately? Immediately, the fire of God fell and burnt up the offering, the wood, the stones. You know, the Lord wanted really to show him that he was in charge. The dirt and even water in the trench. There must have been a lot of people that responded to the invitation that day. Definition number three, prayer is hearing God's voice. Prayer is hearing God's voice. John 10, 1 through 4. John 10, 1 through 4. "Let me," it says in the Message, "set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. He's a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice." The passage goes on and says, "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out, and when he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow, because they are familiar with his voice." That's an interesting way that that's worded. They are familiar with his voice. Deuteronomy 13:4, this from the New Living Translation. It is in your notes also. "Serve only the Lord your God and fear him alone. Obey his commands. Listen to his voice." And we need to take time to do that and cling to him. Another definition, definition four, is that prayer is ministering. It's exalting the Lord. It's exalting the Lord. Why pray? Why pray? You know, years ago I read this next statement by Chrysostom, who's one of the early church fathers. He was called the silver-tongued orator because he was so gifted in his communication. And he said, "Prayer is an all-efficient panoply, a treasure undiminished, a mine which is never exhausted, a sky unobscured by clouds, a heaven unruffled by the storm. It is the root, the fountain, and the mother of 1,000 blessings. Why pray? Because 1,000 blessings await us in answered prayer. But you know, to me, I think there's a blessing many believers miss. I really think so. I think it's when we begin to look at prayer as primarily getting things through our asking the Lord and bringing to Him those needs we have, which it truly is prayer. But you notice something I've learned over the years I want to just share from my heart is that when we simply minister unto the Lord and just worship and adore and exalt Him, now listen carefully, He starts to answer prayers we didn't even pray. That is not to say we shouldn't pray, because He does say, ask and it shall be given. But the scripture also says, delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart, which is an unarticulated prayer. That's what a desire is. Ezekiel 44:15-16. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to minister to me, and they shall stand before me. They shall enter my sanctuary. They shall come near to my table to minister to me. Only this special group of people were allowed to do that. I've heard teaching on this in the past that really impacted me. And listen carefully. There was a huge amount of activity going on in the outer court. I was just writing this some things down here. You don't need to write this down, but it was noisy. It was messy. It was slippery. What do you mean slippery? There's blood all over the place. They were hacking away. You know, there's a whole lot of activity in the church. There's a whole lot of busyness in the church. There is all kinds of activity in the outer court. And God is saying, are you one of the special ones that will come into my presence just to minister to me? And that's one of the things we want to create, the atmosphere and the climate for that to happen, through worship and intercession that will come into this place. In fact, very soon, and you'll hear more about this at the next teaching, and we will begin to have 8 hours of worship every day here, where people can come at any time. And I don't know if it's going to start Monday through Friday. Maybe Murray can comment on that later. But that's the goal. We have the prayer grottos on the wall here, where you can now come if you call ahead, because more and more are coming, and you might show up in it, and every grotto is taken. But there are 13 of them. And you can come and spend time in one of those places to just be alone for an hour or two, or even a half a day. You can gather up a team. And there's our Harp and Bowl, two other wonderful prayer rooms here, where you can bring a team of 3 or 4 or 6 or 8 and meet once a week, or as often as you wish to. But again, you want to put that on the calendar. But that's what we want to see happen here, is a place where we come and minister unto the Lord. And let me tell you something, because we did this all day yesterday. I was so refreshed just in the presence of the Lord. And I was sitting there, because here's what happens. You're not sitting 10 minutes, and you start to think of all the things that you could be doing. And then you say, nope, I'm just going to stay here a little longer. And that little longer is what tips the scale. And you say, you know what, in your heart, the Lord can take care of those things better than I can. I'm just going to worship Him and enjoy Him. Oh, and that's why I want to. One of the things, by the way, of having these schools of prayer, you don't just learn to pray at a teaching like this or a school of prayer, but you can become inspired and challenged to begin to do it. And that's why I'm challenging you to be a part of the intercessory worship that goes on here. We end each of our times our teaching with a time just to share around the tables here. You can either ponder these points if you're alone online or watching by DVD. And then we ask you to pray together. We do this just briefly. I do want to mention that in one of these lessons, I'm going to share the profound miracle that happened in my life that led me to write the book, No Easy Road. A few years ago, I was in down in our storage area in our home, rummaging through a whole bunch of stuff. How many got a lot of stuff stuck in places? I didn't even know I still had this, but the original handwritten copy of No Easy Road, the book that's back on the table, and I don't know if you can see there. I not only didn't type, I didn't write well. And only if you were seeing this probably close up, I know the camera can, but this is the original thing, and on the back of scratch paper, by the way, because I was trying to conserve money because I didn't have any. But anyway, that was, I came across that, and so it brought back memories. But what happened was a profound miracle of healing in my life when I thought, because the loss of my ability to speak for almost a year, that I would never be in the pulpit again, 26 years of age, cry myself to sleep at night, because all I wanted to do was to share the good news of Jesus. And how, that's when, in those agonizing moments, he taught me to trust him. And he taught me to pray. And one of these lessons, I'm going to tell the whole story of that, because very, very unique of what the Lord showed me, but it's not the time right now. But I will at an appropriate time, so please come back to the teaching. Because I want you to be here when I share that. But we want you to take a moment now, and if you're online, you can ponder this. If you're with a small group, you can discuss it, and you can see a discussion point that will come on the screen, and then after that, some prayer points. Let me read the discussion points, though, first. It's also in your workbook. Discuss or ponder why you think prayer is such a necessity to the spiritual growth of every believer. Why do you think the road of prayer is such a difficult journey for so many believers? And then look at the prayer points. In prayer, now you'll do this in your group, and we'll only take a few minutes for this. In prayer, tell the Lord some of your difficulties that have hindered your prayer times in the past. Ask him to give you a victory in these areas so prayer can become a daily discipline for the rest of your life. How many think it's possible to have a time alone with God every day for the rest of your life? See, it's possible, because you might eat every day unless you're fasting for the rest of your life. Why not pray? Okay, we're only going to take a few minutes for each of these, so don't hog up all the time. But first, we're going to take about 3 minutes to talk about this, and then the same amount of time to let you pray. And you can pray anything else that's not even in the prayer points. So let's do that now.